More so.
You know, give a guy a pair of glasses and he won't quit. You know, he looks good in those glasses. One of these days, I'm going to need some of those. $7. Falling prices at Walmart? Thank you for being here tonight. You know, the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus deals with a number of things in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. One of them has to be with that subject that people don't often like to talk about, and it's the subject called judging. Have you ever heard someone say, now, you know, we can't judge? I hear people say that all the time. They make calculations about somebody or maybe a given situation, and they say, but you know, we're not to judge. Now, I want to talk about that tonight, but I also want to talk about another passage that's found in the book of Matthew 7:12. And when you read that passage and you read the other passages there in Matthew 7:1-5 about judging, people find it extremely difficult to harmonize the two. It almost sounds contradictory. Now, even though Christ says that unrighteous judgment is condemned by God, he does not condemn righteous judgment. And in Matthew 7 and verse 12, Jesus said, as you would that men should do unto you, do ye unto them likewise. We often call it the golden rule. Whatever you would have men do to you, do unto them. In Matthew 7:1-5, if you brought your Bible, read along with me. Christ said, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, he says, you shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of your eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then you will be able to see clearly how to cast the mote out of thy brother's eyes. Now, I think what Christ here is trying to convey unto us is that any of us at any moment could experience what we call unrighteous judgment. And that is a judgment without all of the facts. It is a judgment without the assimilation of all the information that would be able to help us make a righteous judgment. Throughout the Bible, we are told to judge, believe it or not. And I want to talk about some of those areas tonight. As a matter of fact, Christ in this story said the way that you exercise righteous judgment is to make sure you get your own house in order before you're judging someone else. Now, that's really what's meant by the beam and the mote here. Christ is just using this as an example to help us understand it and going from one extreme to the other. A mote is just a little small particle. Maybe some of you have had a mote in your eye. It is extremely painful, and it really blurs your vision. This last week, I had a little pink eye in this eye up here. At least that's what I tell everybody. Audrey actually hit me in the eye, but no, I did have a little pink eye. And it obscured my vision just a little bit, but you'll be happy to know this. Talking about David and his glasses, I went to the doctor with it this week. I didn't really know exactly what it was because I had lacerated a cornea one time a number of years ago, and it bled. And so when the eye was real red, I thought, well, maybe I've done that again. And so anyway, when I got down to Dr. Gorby's office, the nurse carried me in and looked at it, examined it, and did all this stuff under ultraviolet light and everything. And she said, now I need you to stand back here. And I thought, well, stand back here. What's going on now? And so she had this vision chart up in front of her. As a matter of fact, it was about 20 foot away. And she said, I want you to read this chart. And I said, okay. And even with the obscured vision because of pink eye, I could read every line except the last line. And I would challenge any of you to be able to do that. And I went in the office area there in the little room, you know, where they examine you and everything. And she said, Mr. Manuel, she said, it is amazing at your age that you can do this. I said, what? She said, your vision is 20/15. She said, that is better than 20/20. I said, I knew it all the time. Now, the point being is the fact that you get a mote in your eye, it does obscure your vision. You know, you do all kinds of things. I've heard people say, well, you just blow in someone's eye to get the mote out. And others, you just take your eyelid and kind of push it down, and finally it'll water and the little mote will just drift out. Now, Christ says here that sometimes we have people, spiritually speaking, that have motes in their eye, little things. And on the other hand, many of us who are ready to try to take care of their lives or to correct their faults or their flaws or to build upon their weaknesses, many of us have a big log or a beam that is protruding out of our own eyes. And he said, if you want to get the mote out of your brother's eye, he said, first of all, get that big beam out of your eye, where you will be able to see clearly the little mote in your brother's eye. In other words, it's impossible for you to do that until you do. And Christ is just saying that we need to sweep before our own door before we start trying to correct and perhaps encourage other people to make their own lives right. Now, I told you at the very beginning tonight that judgment is commanded by God. If you're to read in that seventh chapter, Jesus said something about swine and dogs. He said, do not give, in verse 6, he says, do not give that which is holy unto the dogs. Or do not, he says, cast your pearls before swine. Judgment has to be made in life, and Christ does not condemn it. Rather, he encourages it and even commands it. A judge has to make determinations. Prophets were those who had to make determinations. And matter of fact, the people of God had to even judge the prophets, whether they were righteous or whether they were unrighteous, because there were false prophets who had gone out into the world. And Christ said, beware of the false prophets who lead many astray. Matthew 7, verse 15 through 18. Which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Christ is saying, make the judgment call. He says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Civil government is to judge. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. Being able to determine between what is good and what is evil. The Bible says, submit yourselves unto the higher powers, for there is no power except it be ordained of God. And when Paul admonishes Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, rebuke and reprove with all longsuffering. Why would you rebuke and reprove someone who doesn't need it? You have to have a judgment call to be able to do that. We have to judge or discern between that which is right and that which is wrong. Psalms 119 and verse 28, David said, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things that are right or to be right, and I hate every false way. How do you know if you don't judge? Now, on the other hand, Christ prohibits certain judging. He prohibits hypocritical judging. Sometimes people who are guilty of the very things that they might condemn in other people, that's hypocritical judgment. And that's wrong. God condemns it. Jesus often rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees because they were hypocritical judges. They did the very thing that they were condemning in other people. They allowed in their own lives the sins that they denounced in the lives of other people. They were unfair, they were unmerciful, and they judged harshly other people. Christ prohibits such. He also prohibits imputing unworthy and sinister motives, if you will, to other people. For in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 4, the Bible says of some that he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy and strife and railings and evil surmisings. Sometimes we do judge other people harshly. As someone has appropriately said, you cannot judge a man's heart, but you can judge his action. If a person does something, you certainly can make a judgment call. But if he does not do something and you just surmise that or you believe that because maybe of what someone else said, that does not, listen, that does not mean it's true. Doesn't. You know, a lot of us base our judgment upon what other people say. We do. Sometimes we do that with regard to the media. The news media can come across, perhaps maybe with what they call breaking news. And we listen to all of that and we think, hey, man, that's just got to be true. The media wouldn't be saying it. And then sometimes they come back with a retraction. How many of you have ever read the local newspaper, maybe? And sometimes you see even on the front page certain stories. And then you find out later that what that breaking news was in the newspaper is not true. And then there's a little retraction back over in the classified section somewhere that says we inappropriately ran an article in the paper saying thus and so. We need to get all the facts before we judge or before we make some kind of calculation. In John 7 and verse 24, Jesus said, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Have you ever heard people say, well, you can't judge a book by the cover? A lot of people do. A lot of people walk up, maybe in a bookstore somewhere, and see a book and see a title, and they say, oh, boy, that looks real good. I think I'll buy that. And then you buy it, and you get home, and you're utterly disappointed. You knew about the author. You'd read perhaps other books that he had written. The book cover looked very, very attractive, and you thought, hey, this is going to be a good book. And you find out it isn't. Well, you know what? We all judge one another that same way, don't we? How many of you judge people by the way they look? You do. Sometimes we judge people unfairly. Sometimes people might enter the assembly with maybe perhaps hair isn't combed. They look disheveled. They look unkept. And sometimes we make a judgment about that person before we even talk to him. Now, Christ is saying, judge not lest you be judged. He didn't say it was wrong to judge, but he said you better be very careful because whatever measure you meet unto other people, it's going to be measured unto you again. That is, what goes around will come around. And for people who are going to judge other people, I would encourage you and admonish you to be very, very careful of your judgment. In Proverbs 18 and verse 17, New English Translation says the first person to speak always seems to be right until someone comes along and asks the right questions. Now, how do you harmonize all of that with the golden rule? Because we say we don't want people judging us. How do we harmonize what Christ said? Because there in the 12th verse, he says that we're to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. The golden rule. Let me tell you, first of all, what the golden rule does not say. The golden rule does not say, do not unto others what you do not want them to do to you. It does not say, do unto others as they do unto you. And that seems to be a very common practice today, doesn't it? Someone treats us ugly? Hey, man, I'll get back at you. Most of the time, we don't even want to get even. We want to get ahead. Do not, it does not say, do unto others before they do unto you. A lot of people think that's okay. Do unto them before they strike. It does not say, do unto others when they do unto you. Or if they do unto you, it's okay for you to retaliate. It is not right to retaliate. God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord. It does not say, do unto some others as you would have them do unto you. And sometimes people treat other people that way. There are some people that will treat others kindly, and on the other hand, they will treat some very ugly. And unfashionable according to the Spirit of God. But the golden rule is active and personal. It is not a theory and it is not a philosophy. It is a theology that fell from the lips of our Master Jesus Christ. It is something to apply. It is something to do. It is something to act out in our own lives. And sometimes we fail to do that. Talk is cheap, as we often say. We say to other people that we ought to practice the golden rule, but how often do we practice the golden rule? Sometimes the golden rule becomes tarnished. And it becomes the iron rule. That is, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to impose my will upon you, and I'm not going to treat you like I want you to treat me. If you really stop to consider the fact, if the whole world practiced the golden rule, we would eliminate conflict. We wouldn't be having a war tonight in Afghanistan. And many of our young people being slaughtered. We wouldn't have had a war in Iraq that cost us billions of dollars. We wouldn't have abortion clinics if women treated the unborn like they themselves wanted to be treated. You treat one another with love and with kindness. The golden rule is taught in other passages. Certainly the supremacy of it is there because Christ taught it. In Matthew 5, 21 through 22, Jesus said, don't have hatred in your heart. Then he moves on down and says, practice the golden rule. Sometimes people hold hatred in their heart toward people for years and years and years, and they just cannot let go of it and will not let go of it. And sometimes that hatred and that animosity is there maybe because of a miscalculated judgment about someone. Maybe they believed a certain thing about an individual, and so because they heard it on television or they read it in the paper or maybe they heard it through the gossip line, they believe it to be true. And so they hold on to it and they ostracize the individual that they feel in their heart is guilty. And they treat them unkindly. They treat them with everything short of love. And then perhaps maybe they found out later that what was said was not true. In Matthew 5, verse 38 and 39, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, don't fight back against someone who wants to do harm to you. If they hit you, he says, on the right cheek, let them hit the other cheek also. Now, what is that all about? The average person on the street, if someone comes up to you and hits you or strikes you on one cheek, you know what's going to happen generally? Is that we're going to what? Retaliate. I think a lot of what Christ had to say here is the fact that the Romans who and Jerusalem was of Judea, which was a Roman province. And the Roman army could conscript a young man to carry his backpack for a certain given distance, a mile. Remember, Jesus also in the Sermon on the Mount said, if a man would compel you to go with him 1 mile, you go with him twain. You go with him two. I think what Christ is trying to illustrate here is that we always ought to have the right attitude. And if a Roman soldier were to come up and slap one of these young Jewish men on the cheek, he says, don't retaliate. And didn't Jesus do the same thing? The Bible says when he was reviled, he reviled not again, but turned to him who judges righteously. I've often thought about that passage where perhaps those Roman soldiers could go up to a young Jewish boy and make him carry his backpack. I'm told that most young Jewish men, when they were young, walked many, many miles with their father. And they actually stepped off the distance of that mile so many, many times that when that Roman soldier would come up and conscript them and make them bear that backpack, that they knew exactly how far a mile was. And when they had walked that mile, they would say, "Here's your backpack, no more." And by law, they could do that. But Jesus, in his superlative nature, said, if that happens, he says, you carry it one more mile. Now, could you imagine having such an attitude? And can you imagine, could you imagine perhaps the feeling or perhaps the look on the Roman soldier's face when a young man says, can I carry your backpack one more mile? I think what Christ is saying, that when we do what is expected of us, there's little joy there. But when we go beyond what is expected of us, then it makes us feel good. We get the blessing. They get the blessing for the first mile, but we get the blessing for the second mile. And it's true. There's not much blessing in doing what you just feel like expected of you. But when you go beyond what is expected of you, then you get the blessing. Now, I know that's counter to what the world teaches, but it certainly is something our Lord taught. And Jesus says, if they hit you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Can you imagine how humiliating that might have been to a Roman soldier? For a young Jewish boy not to respond in hatred and animosity, but to simply turn the other cheek as if it had not happened. In Romans 13, verse 8 and 9, Paul records these words, all these commands and all other commands are really summed up in only one rule, he says, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. For it is the same as loving yourself. You know, we need the golden rule today. So many places where we need it. We need it everywhere. We need it in our homes. We would have less problems. We would have less domestic discord if people practiced the golden rule. Try it this week. I'm going to do better this week. I hope you will too. We need it at the workplace. With other people. We do. Teachers need it at school. I know how unruly sometimes kids can be. And those of you that are parents understand that. But instead of being a simple authoritarian, be someone who practices the golden rule. We need it in our neighborhood. Sometimes when our neighbors are not what they ought to be, or perhaps a neighbor makes you mad, treat him with kindness. We need it in the local church. We do. Sometimes when people hear things, or perhaps they see something, and instead of judging and miscalculating, give that person the benefit of the doubt. And don't judge unrighteously, but judge fairly. We need to practice the golden rule when it comes to the lost. You know, we often talk about the lost, people that are unsaved. But how often do we practice the golden rule? Many of us justify in our own mind our lack of showing it to other people The golden rule would say if we know someone who is lost and outside of that relationship with Christ that will get them to heaven, sometimes we look at them and we already size them up and we make miscalculations and misjudgments and unrighteous judgments and we say, well, they wouldn't listen anyway. Or we say sometimes, well, you know, I'm just not sure now is the right time to talk to them about Jesus. And we make unrighteous judgment calls. But Christ said to do unto others as though you were others. And you know, if you really practice that, what a different world it would be. Let me challenge you this week as members of this Crockett Road Church family to practice that this week. Wherever you are, when you're at the supermarket and someone cuts you off when you're trying to get into line, or maybe someone is driving down the road and cuts in front of you, or exercise a little love and patience. And so many places where we need it, isn't it? And you know what? Here's the thing about it that is so wonderful, is that you will get the blessing for doing that. I can tell you, when you act upon the will of God and when you treat people as God asks us to treat other people, we are the better because of it. So let me challenge you to do that. If you're not a Christian tonight, let me challenge you to become a Christian and then become implementing the things that we have said here tonight. It's of little value to implement these things and not have a relationship with Christ. And so we can have that relationship with Christ by exercising our faith in Him and obeying His gospel by being baptized into Christ for the remission of sin and then following the Master's teaching. And I hope tonight, if you're here and you're not a Christian, that you'd be very eager to respond to the call of Jesus. And if you're a Christian and maybe down deep in your heart, you know, you really haven't followed the golden rule, and maybe you've missed the call many, many times, and you never really repented of your miscall, your unrighteous judgment. You just hoped it'll go away someday, but it doesn't. So tonight, I hope you'll have the right attitude and acknowledge your sin and ask God to forgive you while we stand and while we sing.